Open up to Hebrews chapter 12.
Hebrews chapter 12.
We decided to take a break from 1 Timothy, and I want to talk just a little bit about the verse. If you've already looked at the pastor's report, this is the verse I talked about there, though that's not what I'm going to have to say about it this evening. But Hebrews chapter 12, let's start reading with verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we look at just a few thoughts tonight, we ask that you would bless us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture is all about the Christian life and the race, or the path that God has called you to walk. We each have our own race. God makes it very clear there in verse number 1. And when he says, run with patience the race that is set before us, we don't run the same race. We have different circumstances and different events happening in each of our lives. But to be successful in the Christian race, we must follow what God tells us in verse number 2, to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we look to him in verse number 3, he tells us to consider him that endures such contradiction. If you think you're going through a hard time and that the Christian life is difficult, he says just think for a little while what Jesus endured, the Creator, God in all of his holiness. And here he is, dwelling with sinful man in sinful creation, and then dying on the cross and bearing the sin that you and I committed as he hung there before God. Just think about him for a little bit. And though you may think, moving on now to verse number 4, we're going to back up just a little bit and spend our time in verse number 2. But lest you think that you've given it everything you have, and because you didn't have enough, you were then able to fail, God encourages us by saying, Jesus did more than you could ever imagine. He says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, like Jesus did, striving against sin. And so in this, we have instruction on how to live a successful Christian life, how to successfully navigate the race that God has laid before us. But I think the key factor in running that race successfully, and all that he had to say here, is the first phrase of verse number 2. And that's what I want to talk about tonight here for just a few moments. The idea of looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Where are you looking tonight? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, didn't put a lot of thought into it, but it's possibly looking in the wrong places. A lot of Christians are failing because they're looking in the wrong areas. They're looking to other people for success in their life. They're looking to books. They're looking to counselors. They're looking to their pastors. They're looking to their spouses. They're looking to their children. They're looking to anybody. But God says, don't look to people. Look to him. They're looking to experience. And they think that experience will get them through. But experience, while it has a great deal of value, experience at certain points and times and in certain circumstances will not help you successfully navigate the Christian race that God has called you to run. There are many that unfortunately are looking to the world. How many churches have compromised their music program because they don't see it as successful singing the old-time hymns of the faith? They don't think that you can sing it in the old way, that you might as well sell the organ and put a dust cover on the piano because you've got to bring out the drums and the electric bass and the electric guitar. Because that's the only way to build a church. They're looking to the world for success in the Christian race that God has called them to run. It's not just the pastors, but oftentimes it's the people. Because if the people would in the congregation would just simply have some conviction, they would stand up against the pastor who tries to change that music program of a church. Don't look to the world. What does he tell us in 1 John chapter 2? Love not the world. There are things that are in the world. And so, there's a lot of places people are looking for success in life. And it's all the wrong places. Many look to success or financial success. We'll just say that. Or money. They think that if I just had more money. And that's why the lottery is such a big deal and why so many people will allow the government to take their money, a voluntary taxation. And if someone accidentally wins the lottery and they get about half of what the amount in the jackpot was, because the government, of course, takes the rest, boy, they just paste their picture everywhere and promote that to try to encourage people to voluntarily give away whatever a lottery ticket costs. I don't even know. I don't want to know, because so many people foolishly spend their money on that, looking to money, thinking that's the key to success. No, none of those are. Look to Jesus. He is the key to winning the race and running it successfully. Now, if we're to look to Jesus, and here's the bulk of the message, where should we look? Where will we find Him when we need help? And so I've got seven different places you need to fasten your eyes depending on what you need. And the first one is alluded to here in the passage that we've seen. The first place we ought to look to run the Christian race successfully is we ought to look to the cross. Because it's at the cross where we're going to find forgiveness of sin. And it's at the cross we're going to find victory over the temptation in our life. And it's at the cross where we're going to see that we can endure because God will forgive us. And when we fall, we can get back up and keep running. There's nothing worse than being in a race on a track team and having someone fall. Because you know that they have absolutely no chance of winning that race any longer. But it takes character to get back up and to run the race and finish it off. And so many Christians fall in the Christian life and they quit and they go home and they say, I'm just not going to do it anymore because now I've fallen. That's when we need to look at the cross and find Jesus there and see Him offering forgiveness and the blood that's dripping from the wounds in His body. And realize that blood is still sufficient to cover the sins that we've committed. And that He, through that death on the cross, has provided victory in the Christian life. Yes, if you're struggling with temptation, look to the cross. You'll find Jesus there, and He'll help. When you have a need, you need to look for Jesus seated on the throne. Early in the book in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, God encourages us to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And so when you have a need in your life, look to the throne of God in heaven above where Jesus is seated at His right hand and is listening to your prayers and is willing and ready to answer each prayer that you utter. When there's a need in your life that seems like there's no way it can be met, no way it can be fulfilled, and you need a miracle, look to the throne of God where Jesus is seated. That's the key. That's the way to success. That's the way to have God work in your life when you're facing an area of Christian service and you don't know how it can be successful. You need to look to the throne of grace where you can receive that mercy and help or grace to help in time of need. Look to Jesus as He's seated on the throne and is just waiting for you to come before Him. He says, if we'll knock, He'll open. If we seek, we'll find. He's ready, He's willing, and He's able to answer your prayers, to meet your needs. And so if you need forgiveness, you've fallen, look to the cross. If you have a need, you need something supplied by way of Christian service or just any need in your life, whether it be health, whether it be circumstances, look to the throne. Find Jesus there. He wants to help you. If life is getting dreary and life is getting difficult and you're getting discouraged and a little depressed at what is laid out before you, let me encourage you to look to the clouds. Look to the clouds. There we find hope for the future. We find hope for tomorrow. We know that the Lord is coming back, and look for Jesus in those clouds. Live expectantly in your life. And boy, that'll put a bounce in your step. It doesn't matter what this world is throwing at us. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 21. Jesus tells us that that's what we ought to be doing. So often the things we have to do in life day in and day out can get us down, and life doesn't have the excitement that it ought to have. But this is the answer. This is how we'll finish our race, if we're looking to the clouds where Jesus is going to one day return. In Luke chapter 21, let's start reading verse number 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking for after those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of heaven shall be shaken, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now this is all His revelation at the end of the tribulation. But verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Expect Christ to come back at any moment. We can turn over for the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That He's coming again someday, and we all always ought to have that hope in us. And each day as we wake up, that should be in our minds, that perhaps is the day Jesus is coming. And so we can go through the things in life that God has called us to do, whether they be mundane or whether they be exciting. It should be irrelevant. It's all exciting because we're doing it for God. Living expectantly that this could be the day that He comes home, calls us home, that He comes back and calls us to Himself. So look to the clouds. Find Jesus there. Another place we ought to look for Jesus, we look to the cross to find forgiveness. We look to the throne to find answered prayer. We look to the clouds to find hope for tomorrow. But look to the mountain. Look to the mountain. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Probably the most familiar sermon in all of Scripture begins in Matthew chapter 5 and spans the next two chapters as well, Matthews 5, 6, and 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. There's a reason we call it the Sermon on the Mount. In verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 5, we read this, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them. When you need instruction in life, when I was young, I always hoped I'd get to that point. I don't need instruction anymore. But you know, I'm finding out the older I get, the more I realize I need instruction from God on a regular basis. And that's when I need to look to the mountain, and you need to look to the mountain as well and let Jesus teach you and show you the way and guide you along life's pathway. Oftentimes, as we're trying to run that race faithfully that Jesus has called us to run, oftentimes we don't know where that course twists and turns. And so we need instruction that we don't get diverted off the trail that He wants us to stay on. That's when we need to come to Jesus and find Him on the mountain and hear His instruction. And we do this through the agency of the Word of God and through prayer and through counsel with other godly Christians that are Spirit-filled. And God, through all those things, shows us the way that He wants us to go. If we fail to look to the mountain and find God's instruction, we're going to get off course and we're going to get out of sorts in our lives with God because we're not going to understand what it is He expects from us and what He wants us to do. And so look unto Jesus on the mountain and find that instruction in life that we all need. There's a fifth place we need to look for Jesus. Daniel chapter 3. We know the story of Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They wanted to stay faithful to God, but the path that God had called them to run The race God had called them to run was not an easy task. They were government bureaucrats in a very high position to a king who had absolute power over the subjects in his kingdom. And he was an idolater at this point in his life. I believe he eventually got saved, but at this point in his life, he's as lost as could be. And he gets the bright idea that he's going to make this great statue and everybody's going to bow down before it. And Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael find themselves in that crowd. And the whole company of people that are there bow down and they refuse to bow the knee to anyone but the Lord God in heaven. Of course, they get tattled on by those that were jealous of their position. They're hauled before the king. They get thrown in the fiery furnace. But look in verse number 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, three men bound into the midst of the fire? The answer said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And so let me encourage you that when you're going through the trials, the furnace of life and difficulties in your situation, look in the furnace. Jesus is there with you. Now I find it interesting that when we see them there in the furnace, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they're not on their face bowing before the Son of God. Don't you find that interesting? They're walking about. And as I picture them walking about, I picture them having a conversation. What do you suppose they talked about? I find it very interesting. I have no idea because God doesn't give us any clue what they were talking about. But I have to imagine there was a conversation going on as they're walking around, and Jesus maybe is telling them, hey, look, fellas, you can come over here. It ain't going to hurt you. And it's no hotter over here. You're just fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus is assuring them and comforting them and encouraging them to stay faithful, and He'll always have their back and watch out for them. And don't ever bow down, and don't let the king frighten and scare them. You see, when you're in the midst of a trial, one of the things we need the greatest is that of comfort. And Jesus, in the furnace with you, will comfort you. Jesus didn't zap them out of the furnace like that. He didn't drop the heat. I mean, the heat was still there. It burned off all the ropes they were tied up with. So they were still in the furnace, but Jesus was there with them. But you know, it's oftentimes when you're in the furnace of affliction that it seems that Jesus has deserted you. But be assured that Jesus is there with you, and He wants to set you free like He set these men free to walk around. He'll set you free in the midst of the trial. But He'll comfort and He'll encourage if you look for Him as you run your race and you hit the trials that He's planned for your good. Look over in Matthew chapter 14. We'll find the sixth of seven places we can look for Jesus if we're to successfully navigate the race that God has called us to run. Matthew chapter 14. Look in verse number 13. When Jesus heard of it, He departed thence into a desert place, apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed the sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past, and the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And we know what happened. Jesus fed the multitude with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And so let me encourage you, when you need provision in your life, when there's more month than there's money left towards the end of that month, look to the desert place. Jesus is there in the desert place to provide for you. And it's not always financially where we need provision. But Jesus wants to provide. He wants to give you those things that you need. And so go to the desert place. Now, the thing about the desert place is it was entirely barren. We think of a desert place and we think of nothing but sand and sand dunes, like the Sahara Desert. But the desert place in Israel is different. It's just rocky and barren. There is no sand. It's just rocks and dirt. But nothing grows there, or very little grows there. And oftentimes we get in our Christian life where there seems to be no growth and it seems like everything stagnates and we just can't find any sustenance, whether it be physical or spiritual. Look in that desert place for Jesus, because He's there with you and He wants to provide. And though there may only be a little there, God will make it multiplied and sufficient. So in the desert place, look for Jesus when you need provision. And then over in chapter 18, we have our last place to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Always look for Jesus in the midst. This is when Christians get together for worship. So often God is left out of the equation. Now He's here with us because we're meeting in His name, but we're concerned about the things going on in our life, the things going on at work, the things going on in our family. We're worried about what we have to do that afternoon, and we're worried about what so-and-so said to me, and in some churches they're worried about what so-and-so has worn to church that day. And we're not concerned about looking for Jesus in the midst. And so we come and we go and we've never met with Him. We've never had fellowship with Him. But God wants to have fellowship with us. And that's why He made this great promise to us, that if we'll just get together to worship Him, He will fellowship with us. Imagine that. A holy God, Almighty God, the Creator of us and everything else that exists. And He wants to spend time with you. And if you'll just get together with others and fellowship together in His name, He says, I'll show up. I'll show up. I'll be there. But so often we don't look for Him. When we're looking for Him in worship, He'll speak to us through His Word, and the messages won't be dry, because even though they may be poorly delivered or poorly laid out, it's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us will bring that to life in our hearts and in our minds. And God will speak to us and show us the way and give us direction and allow us to see Him high and lifted up in the temple. But that's only if you're looking for Him in the midst. Too often we fail to look for Jesus. But back in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, God encourages us that if we're going to be successful as we run with patience the race that is set before us, if we're going to be successful, we must look unto Jesus. He can be found. Found in the cross to find forgiveness. Found in the throne where we find answered prayer. Found in the clouds, living expectantly. Hope for tomorrow. Look for Him in the mountain for instruction. In the furnace for encouragement and comfort. In the desert place for provision. And in the midst for fellowship. He wants you to see Him. He says, look. Are you looking today for the Lord? Father, we thank You for being so available to us. We know that in the days of the founding of our country, there were those that were called theists. They believed that You created the world and then You deserted us. But Father, what a comfort it is to know that that is just not the case. Father, You're with us. You want to be active in our lives. If we'll just look for You, You will be. Help us to acknowledge Your presence in all that we do. And help us to look to You for help in all areas of our life, that You might be glorified and that we might grow into Your image. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.